Welcome to the Monsters of Fantasy. This was written, produced, recorded, and edited by me, Sean McCarter. Monsters of Fantasy is a production in which I will explore the truly horrific side of the fantasy world known as Dungeons and Dragons. There are content warnings in the show notes below. Episode 20. The Phoenix.
Good morning, future me. Or Nico, if you're listening to this now. I doubt it. You weren't even here while we threw a party at your own castle. While on the roof, you could even see the fireworks from Voron. I'm not sure, but I think the king summoned something from another plane. The skies got all dark and there was a bright, blinding light on the horizon, followed by a slight gust of wind. Kind of wish we were there when it started, but we had a lot of fun here. Got to meet some of the rest of the group's friends. Two of Cade's friends stopped by, ID-0, a Goliath of a Warforged, and a rather handsome half-elf, Clifford. Luna brought two of her friends from her uni days as well, Molly and Jerry, I think? I can't quite remember their names. A bit hungover, yeah, honestly. And even Daisy brought a friend over. I think her name was Abby or Abigail? Something of that nature. I just remember she and I had fun putting on a show for everyone. See, I don't feel bad about rambling, Nico, because I'm upset you missed the party. And, well, when we scryed on you, we saw you were with a guy who looked like Merlin from that Gibbering Mouther statement. Before we could really see, though, you dispelled the ruse with your middle finger, since you'd rather do secret wizard things with your friends than attend a party. Even the servants of this castle showed up and partied. Granted, I'm pretty sure they're arcane servants. They still took part. Oh, while I'm at it, I guess I should add that Henry, your blink dog, has taken residence in my wing since you've been gone so long. I started feeding him, and now I'll be walking through the halls or reading a book, only to have a dog teleport drooling on top of me. One time, I was eating soup 1 minute, and the next a paw materialized, kicking the bowl into the air. That's why I'm more of a cat person, but Henry is starting to grow on me. Maybe we'll make a statement about him soon. But alas, Nico, it is a new year, and like I said in the last entry, I would like to do that with none other than the famous Phoenix. And what better than a story from the legendary bird tamer regarding his experience meeting a Phoenix?
You know, I'm surprised it took you so long to ask, Nico. I would have figured since your school days you would have stopped by and asked for one of these long ago. But you never stop by anymore, do you? I get more adventurers knocking at my portcullises than friends these days. And what is this legendary bird tamer they're talking about? I retired an archmage in my own right. Sorry, I'm no pet to the king. At one point years ago, I was known as the most powerful evocation wizard. Not that Sadian. Listen to me getting upset and heated. Welcome in, and I'll gladly give you a story about Embra. Well, Embra and I became friends just about 30 years ago. She's 9 now, so plus the first 2 times, yeah. We've been partners for just over 32 years. The night we first met was, well, spectacular, to say the least. I guess it's good that I met Embra when I was a bit older than youths. You know how hot-headed I was as a youth. But I can't take full blame. It's something in the blood of us Fire Ganassi. I was actually that line of thinking I was researching at the time. You know Professor Madril, right? Well, he was doing a bit of research on the elemental planes, and he specifically wanted my help with the fire plane. At first, I just thought it was because I was the best evocation wizard on campus. In addition to that, though, he believed my connection to the elemental plane might help him. You should have seen his face when he realized I didn't know my own heritage to the planes. Long story short, somewhere my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or mother hooked up with a genie from the elemental plane. And, well, you can imagine what happens when someone from the prime material and the fire plane reproduce. You get people like me. Humanoid and mortal, yes, but just as much we are beings of fire like Embra over here. I was on the way to study the mountains of Crag's Vault and a lot of the native species like fire newts on the southern tip of Mount Kris, the smallest of the three peaks. I don't know why they're still called the Mountains of Crag's Vault. About 500 years ago, the four peaks of the Great Crag Range, home of the Dwarven capital, quickly became three peaks in a fiery explosion that resulted in magma burying homes even in the foothills below. Dwarven stories about leaving the mountains and not being able to tell if it were night or day because of how much ash was in the air. It didn't help that just 3 days after the eruption, Hagensvoss, the ancient red dragon who resides within the Great Crags, awoke. Other things happened too, though. A vast and teeming amount of life exploded from withinside. It is said that most of the native species that reside in Nathapos, hell, maybe even all, we have to thank for that explosion. I once heard that if you were to travel all the way to the center of that open-mouthed mountain, then you would reach the very center of hell. I know that's not true, but I do wonder what kind of world is down there underneath the crust that can produce such creatures. I know not if there is some portal to the fire plane within the crags, but there is life down there. As I said, I was studying and hunting for fire newts at the time, and while not nocturnal, the best time to find them is at night. It's as easy as turning over a rock that has a suspiciously glowing or warm underside. I was reaching down to turn over such a rock, expecting to try and grab another streaking blur that was trying to dart away, when the very sky above me ignited in light. As bright and quick the flash came, the light faded away as the rumble of the explosion reached me. I think I peed myself right then, as the ground shook, thinking another of the great crags would be bringing years of ash. I started grabbing my chalk and tried to teleport out of there, when I noticed that my lines were incredibly smooth. I'm talking graduation exam smooth. Too smooth for an ongoing volcano explosion. I looked to the night sky and saw off in the horizon the glowing orange of fire. I'm a researcher, a wizard, not some craven. I still believe that Mount Kryn had some mini eruption, not quite like the previous scale, but still had a life-changing phenomena that I should try and record. I took out my feather and decided to take an aerial approach to the situation. I cast fly on myself and hastily made my way towards the peak. Mount Kryn, being the lowest of the peaks, actually has a lot of vegetation, and even small forests near its peak. As I took flight in the air, it was obvious that its peak had not been blown, but one of the nearby patches of forest was completely on fire. Almost in a perfect circle, a ring of fire was burning on the edge of the mountain. The evergreen pines were catching and igniting as the ring moved outward, consuming the last of this patch of trees. In the center of the explosion, where I assumed to see a crater, I only saw ash and fresh snow. But instead of debris and rock like a normal blast, everything was ash. Except in the center. Faintly underneath the blanket of ash and snow, I saw an orange glow peeking through. I flew myself down to the center of the blast site. When I first landed, I felt the crunch underneath my boots and thought it was the remains of a poor tree or some melting ice. But with each step through the ash and dust, I continued to kick and almost trip on these hard structures until my boot caught and flung something tumbling through the ash. I was immediately aware that it was a bone. What kind I could tell not, but it seemed like my foot had gotten caught on a small femur. The femur rolled and revealed more bones and tattered leathers covered by a blanket of ash and snow. I saw a horn now peeking out from one of the clumps of ash, scorched spear tips, a smoldering rib cage. I feared that every imperfection I saw on the gray sheet was another body. From the sizes of the corpse, I figured a group of kobolds had gotten caught in the blast. The mountainside, inside and out, could be found crawling with them. Moving past the bones of the charred, I bent down to what I believed the source of the explosion. I blew the ash away from the orange glow to reveal more skulls and bones charred at the base of an egg. The egg was like nothing I'd ever seen. Flames danced and moved around the surface, doubling into themselves, seemingly feeding one another. The base of it burned hotter than the rest, and I could see the stone slowly melting away where the egg was resting. The egg itself was almost the size of a pumpkin, but not the same loving orange as one. Instead, the oranges of this egg reached out, charring the bones that lay at its feet. I picked up what I think was a burnt humerus and tried poking it at the egg. I expected to catch fire immediately, but I watched as the flames parted for just a moment, revealing not an egg membrane, but, I swear to you, actual lava moving along the surface. I still was expecting it to potentially explode, so when the bone sunk into the egg and started sizzling away and dissolving, I took it back out and flung it, still burning off the mountain edge. But the fires kept roaring around a perfect egg shape. Egg shape. Egg shape. That's when it dawned on me that the ball of flame and lava I was looking at was maybe a phoenix. Phoenixes are still very rare creatures. Only two have been recorded by the king in all of our nation's history. One before Vorin was named, and another 600 years ago. But there was a chance that the ball of fire I was beholding was indeed a phoenix egg. And so out of almost childish glee, I went and lunged for the egg. As soon as my fingers touched the flame, I realized my mistake. I've been used to it ever since I was a kid, sticking my hands in the oven to grab a cookie, picking up a hot coal, touching the fire, being the fire. When I hit puberty and expected to grow hair, you should have seen how happy I was to have sprouting flames. Fire has always been welcoming and inviting. Warm. The fire my fingers brushed against was anything but. Immediately my red skin peeled away, revealing the pink flesh underneath. That was new. Then, as if delayed by shock, I felt all the nerves in my hand come alive in agony. I remember chuckling to myself and laughing as tears filled my eyes. Finally, after almost half my life, I understood what it was like to be truly burnt. I dropped the egg, but it didn't seem to be affected at all. It just rolled around, melting the ash-colored snow. I cleared a small patch of ash and kobold bones to make room for a teleportation circle. I was hurrying because I could already see torches lighting up in the small mountain towns. It seems that I wasn't the only one who had heard the explosion, and a few scouts were being sent out to investigate it. However, I was able to finish the elementary incantations well before the goats would bring them to me. The hard part was traversing with the egg. Anything I tried wrapping around it caught fire immediately. Eventually, I just sucked it up and grabbed it with my bare hands as I crossed the threshold. I got a scar from that night. Not too bad, honestly, just something to remind me to never grab Embra and her egg steak. She stayed in that egg for 3 more days. I didn't really know what to do with her, so I brought her back to my personal laboratory for study. This was after I had retired, meaning I didn't have to take it to the king, and I refused to let the king's savage archmages take claim to the discovery of a modern-day phoenix. So she sat in a glass case inside my study. I'd put her there while I was doing research on phoenixes. I don't know if you remember, but around the time I messaged you to see if you had any studies on the creature. But, alas, not much was known about them before me. A phoenix had never been tamed in modern times, so there was nothing to go on for how long or how to care for a phoenix. I was reading such a book on the history of the great elementals when I noticed smoke starting to fill my study. I quickly glanced over and the glass box was now completely filled with a cloud of black smoke and was forcing its way out. I saw in the moving clouds of black a deep orange glow. Thinking quick on my feet, I ran over to my gems and scrambled for the clearest one I could find. I broke the tip off on my workbench, wasting no time with the incantations. Sparkles of glitter flew through the smoke surrounding the case and the egg within. I finished the last of the spell just as the glass case shattered. A blazing inferno came rushing toward me at an alarming speed, quicker than I feared, but stopped abruptly 5 feet from my face. In the center of my office stood a perfect cube of fire. All I could think about at the time was that surely something important had gotten caught in the blast, and it would be that much more work to deal with later. Maybe this is what happened just 3 days prior. Will it keep doing this? Was this some kind of defense mechanism that the egg had? These were all of the thoughts I had until the flames died away a few moments later. I dropped the spell and let the rest of the smoke go out of the window I had open. It didn't take long for me to notice Ember, though, and for her to notice me. She was the size of an eagle, but looked nothing of the sort. She was a bird, yes, but her body kept shifting and moving. The stories had said birds with fire for feathers, and while not wrong, this bird was the fire. There were no feathers, just tendrils of flame that bent and licked at the air in the shape of feathers and wings. We locked eyes, and it felt as if I was staring into a tiny sun. She opened her beak, white hot, like a blade in a forge, and yelled at me. I was so startled I yelled too. The bird was made of fire and started to dance around, panicking in my study. Every beat of its wings set paper and scrolls alike on fire. It seemed the only thing not burnt at the end of the charade were me and anything that had been enchanted to resist fire. Admittedly, due to my line of study, that was actually quite a lot. Now, I didn't know much about birds at the time, but to say the least, I could tell that Ember was surprised. She spent an hour thrashing about as I cooed at her, trying to calm her. Each time she brushed me away with her flames, only to have them not affect me. I told her that she probably had used up a lot of her energy the last few days, and that if she wanted to hurt me, she could try after a few weeks, but that right now, her flames didn't do much more than annoy me. And for the briefest moment, she looked at me with those burning eyes and turned her head, as if she understood me. But then went on for another hour, tiring herself out to almost the size of a hatchling. I had tried every spell scroll that wasn't burnt that I had in that office, but alas, most magic effects did nothing to restrain her. That was when I finally just went over to her and picked her up with my bare hands. Ignoring the way she lashed out at me, small little nips of flame tickling my palms, I whispered to her that this was probably the first and only time she had ever been held. I started to sing to her as I just held her calmingly. Eventually, the little stings resided, and when I opened my palms, there was a small hatchling of a phoenix, curled up softly, keeping my hands warm. So, I didn't just choose this one to make fun of your relationships with other eccentric wizards. It's just this is the only story about the beast I could find, alongside of mountain notes about this subject of yours, Embra, and even some of her relatives on the fireplane. I don't care at all that you probably threw some super spectacular wizard's party with these guys and didn't invite any of us, but I digress. I found this tiny bottle wrapped up inside of the parchment of the story as well. It's a red and orange liquid, unmarked, and when I asked Luna to identify it, she said it was a very powerful rejuvenation balm. Physiology. Phoenixes come from the elemental plane of fire, so it shouldn't be a surprise to hear that they are predominantly made of fire. Under all that fire, they do have some bird-like features, though, seeing as in this statement and in a few potion recipes, you'll find that a phoenix feather is quite valuable for restoration magic. The outside gaseous form of the bird and the actual center. Like a lit torch, the gargantuan size you see of the phoenix is the flame encasing the wick. Just in this case, the source of the fire is a very temperamental, undying bird. Weaknesses and resistances. Let's go ahead and get the obvious thing out of the way. It's a bird whose essence is fire. You're not going to be able to damage it with fire. You can't grapple it, you can't poison it, starvation, petrification, paralyzation, hell, even... Well, that's actually about it, but you get the point. They're resistant to any attack that are not enhanced by magic, because the last time I checked, if you swing a sword through a flame, it'll do just as good as tickling the flame to dance. Sorry, but if you're looking to hurt one of these, you need to become prepared with enchanted weapons or arcane spells, because they have a lot of immunities, a few resistances, but no weaknesses. Attacks and abilities. Birth by fire. Restoration, rebirth, or asexual reproduction, as Nico has put it here. Whatever you call it, it's whatever has given this bird its flame since the dawn of man. I personally don't like that last one because, like Mr. Flameweaver, I believe that Embra is the very same phoenix, just living infinite lives.
Upon death, the phoenix releases all of its retained energy in a concentrated explosion, the very same that lit up the night sky and shook the earth the night he found Embra. After the explosion, the creature leaves behind an egg of sorts. This egg, we assume, is made of some very powerful arcane magic. The reason I say assume, well, Nico says it best in a note here. It says that one day Mr. Flamewalker had taken Ember's egg and gave it to Nico, saying to have it, after he begged him for an autopsy. The only notes here seem to be a huge list of things that can't hurt or disturb this egg of fire, and a completely empty column of things that can. The egg that the phoenix leaves behind after death isn't practically indestructible. I truly believe it is. Whatever fire god created these magical beasts wanted to ensure that they live forever. After a few days, the egg will hatch, and the phoenix will emerge, bursting forth with flame. It does have other abilities besides this birth by fire, like, this here. Because it's essentially made of fire, it can move its essence through any space as long as there is at least a 1-inch wide opening. Despite that, a full-strength phoenix can take up half the night sky, practically. And it can, fly? Okay, so really, outside of its magical rebirthing, it really is just a fiery bird. They attack with talons of fire and searing hot beaks to set the world aflame. The threat really is just how fast they are, and big and strong. Honestly, the phoenix excels in everything besides intelligence. Forgive me, but I've met several parrots smarter than Embra. It's a sad fact that an immortal creature with thousands, potentially millions, of years' worth of wisdom isn't as smart as a carrier pigeon. But when I brought that up, some of the others, they kind of just laughed and made fun of...
Hello. Why are you so startled?
Legendary...
Oh, you must be Kezvar. Your ears seem red. Is that my statement?
No, I mean, yes, my ears are red because I'm a tiefling. That's the natural color. And yeah, this is... Ow! Hey! You can't do that!
Actually, I can. You see, Nico owes me this, and he told me to stop by and pick it up. It's a shame.
Wait! No, I want to talk to you about Nico. Can you tell me about your school days with him?
I'm a rather busy retired old wizard, and I have somewhere to be.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with your friends and family and leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at monstersof_ for all news and teasers for upcoming episodes. Today's story was the backstory to one of Nico's best friends, Cole Flamewalker. He is a Fire Ganassi bird tamer who has tamed the very rare Phoenix. He sits in his castle studying away the elemental plane of fire, while adventurers come one after the other trying to get one of Ember's feathers. I chose Cole and Ember for the New Year's story because what better way to start the year than with a fiery awakening? Join us next week as an old friend, Mr. Bones, brings us a tale of the gargoyle. Thank you for listening. Until next time.